Guys, I'm Greg Wolf, pastor of Cliff Terrace Church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and we're so glad that you decided to join us today. We just want to tell you thank you for being with us. But before we begin, I want to remind you tonight to be sure and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you've not already, and to get the alerts when the new video is available, be sure and click the bell. Also, I have a couple announcements to make. First of all, don't forget this Sunday, every Sunday, either in person or live on YouTube, we have services. They start at 10:30 a.m. We're continuing a series called When Necessary, and we're looking at evangelism from the greatest evangelist that ever lived, that's Jesus Christ. Service begins at 10:30. Be sure to join us. Also, men's breakfast is this Saturday at 10:30 a.m. We're going to once again have man cakes. Man cakes are back. These are pancakes built with the man in mind. You men, you don't want to miss it. Also, if you are in Sebastian County and you are in need of groceries, come by the church this Saturday at 10 a.m. We're having our monthly drive-through food pantry. You will need to be here early to make sure that you can get something. Also, mark your calendars for a great event that's coming up August 29th. We are hosting our first family fishing derby, and it'll start at 9 a.m. We're going to have prizes for the winners of each category. This event is fully stocked and endorsed by the Arkansas Game and Fish. You don't want to miss this event. Make plans to join us. This is completely free. You can go to our Facebook page and see all the details. And there's three ways that you can participate with this event. Number one, you can give. We need financial help to make this a great event. Number two, invite someone to come. And then number three, volunteer to help. With all of us working together, we can make this a fantastic event. So mark your calendars for August 29th. Today we're in Daniel chapter 3. And here's something I want you to think about tonight. God is sovereign over the details of our lives. Think about that. God is sovereign over the details of our lives. You know, since this pandemic started, one thing I've refused to do is to let all the noise control my life. And what I mean by noise is I'm talking about all the media, everybody talking about stuff. I try to be as cautious as I can so that I can minister to those that are scared, but I also, I've not let this pandemic control my life. I don't want this thing to make me do things that I don't want to do. I know that my Redeemer and friend is Jesus Christ, and He loves me, and He wants to protect me. And so I am going to stand on His Word, and if something happens to me, then I know that God has a greater plan for me. Now, I believe that is what God is teaching us in the book of Daniel. Remember what I said earlier. God is sovereign over the details of our lives. Now, in case you were wondering, the definition for the word sovereign is a supreme ruler. So with that in mind, my sentence would go like this. God is supreme ruler over the details of our lives. You see, while Daniel and his friends have proven their worth to the king, their work and lives obviously begin to come into conflict with others in the kingdom. Sometimes we do things that people just don't like. People just don't like us, right? John C. Whitcomb wrote in his commentary on Daniel, he said this, "Although their service for the king was doubtless exemplary, their refusal to adopt the cultural and religious patterns of their Babylonian neighbors must have been a source of increasing animosity and bitterness, behavior their enemies could use as an excuse to destroy them." You see, this kind of approach, it pops up again in Daniel chapter 6. And is a central plot point in the book of Esther. Now, why it's important for Christians to do good and faithful work in whatever culture they find themselves in, faithful refusals to agree to all cultural norms will often invite backlash. You know, Daniel's friends, they must have been frustrated and confused by the persecution they were experiencing. Years earlier, their faith had led them to refuse the food at the king's table. I don't know if you remember what's reading about that in Daniel chapter 1. And they had been rewarded and protected by God, but now their faithfulness to only worship God was going to cause them serious harm. Just like these men, we might believe, you and I might believe, that God will always protect and provide for us in the ways that we expect. Now, we might not say we believe in the prosperity gospel, which is the idea that God promises to bless believers with health and wealth if they have enough faith. But we actually do. Author Kate Bowler discovered this when she was diagnosed with terminal cancer at the age of 35. Now, Bowler is a historian and has written a book chronicling the rise and popularity of the prosperity gospel in American culture. She spent years researching this phenomenon and disagreed with it deeply. But her failing health made her realize that no matter how many times she said this, I rolled my eyes at the creed's outrageous certainties, I craved them just the same. The prosperity gospel looks at the world as it is and promises a solution. It guarantees that faith will always make a way. Now, our very human tendency towards the prosperity gospel is what makes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's response to persecution so incredible. When faced with a fiery furnace, they believed that God could rescue them, but they said, even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. That's Daniel chapter 3, verse 18. They believed not only in God's omnipotence, but also in God's wise sovereignty, and that is a great lesson to learn in the midst of suffering. You know, we learn something significant about God in verses 24 through 26. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. If you look at those verses, God's three men keeping them safe from the fire and preventing even their hair from being singed and their robes from being scorched. But God did even more than this. He was with them. Scholars have argued over whether this fourth person who looked like a son of the gods was an angel or the reincarnate Christ. Regardless of who exactly was there, God sent a bodily presence to comfort these men. Now, you and I, we have the ability to share the presence of God with others and to provide the comfort that God provided these men in the furnace. We can communicate God's presence in other people's lives by being bodily and emotionally present with them. And, you know, this story, I love this story so much. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. But this story is a true picture of God being sovereign over the details of our lives. This chapter teaches us a lot about the character of God. He is sovereign. He's faithful. He's compassionate. And whereas the previous chapters taught us and the book's original Jewish audience that God is able to reveal mysteries and is sovereign over all nations and rulers, this chapter shows God stepping into history and becoming intimately involved in the lives of his people. You know, we can find comfort in knowing that while God is also sovereign over all of human history and the largest events and most important people that shape it, he is also sovereign over the smallest details of our lives. You know, even when you may not see God working or moving in your life, I promise you, he is moving and he is working. God is good and he loves you very much. He cares for you so much. He wants what's best for you, and he believes that you are special and that you are wonderful and that you are magnificent, and he wants all the great things for you. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that we can come here tonight. We can hear from your word. We can hear from your scriptures and what you've been speaking to us through the book of Daniel. And God, I pray that you change our hearts, change our lives. God, help us to be all that you want us to be. Help us to hear from you. Help us to understand and know that you have our futures in mind, that you have our best interest in mind, that you love us and you care for us. And even though we may be going through some crazy times right now, God, you're there walking beside us each and every step of the way. And God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me remind you, don't forget to join us this Sunday at 10:30. Also, men's breakfast is Saturday at 8:30, and a food pantry follows that at 10. So we'd love to see you at any of those events, and hopefully you can be a part of us. Don't forget, as always, we have questions down in the description below that you can look at and help you to further your study on this subject on Daniel chapter 3. Y'all have a wonderful week, and we'll see you this weekend. Thank you.